The Lost Language of Flowers by Buseiko. Read by Countess. David looked up automatically at the knock on the lab door. In Atlantis, no one needed to knock. People knocked out of courtesy or as a warning. David stared at Colonel Shepard in the doorway and tried to figure out which it was. "Dr. Parrish," Shepard said, and shifted awkwardly on his feet, even as he pulled his shoulders into stiff, good posture. "Do you have a minute? I'd like to talk to you." "Sure," David said. And it warmed him that Ami and Robert moved closer, protectively. Shepard noticed and winced. "In private?" He looked at Ami and quirked the corner of his mouth up. Ami glared back. On the mainland, she'd told David that she thought Shepard was interested in her. And then, of course, Shepard had come back and been a total dick, telling Ami to shut the fuck up and get in the jumper and sit the fuck down. And when David had protested, Shepard had been quick to tell him what he thought of his flowers and his cowardice and how his sexuality was to blame for both. After 7 years of working for the SGC as an openly gay civilian, David was used to a certain level of wariness, but he had never been verbally abused. Hence the complaint filled with Lorne, and hence the appearance of Atlantis' military commander in Astrobotany Lab 2. David figured Shepard would have to be an idiot to attempt coercion. He was probably here as some kind of damage control. "I want to apologize," Shepard went on, and bit his lip. David thought that if he didn't say anything, Shepard would probably accept the humiliation of having David's colleagues as witnesses. Shepard nodded at Ami. "To you as well, Dr. Kahara. What I said yesterday, I was out of line, and I'm sorry." He looked sorry. He looked very sincerely ashamed. David took a breath and walked around the table. "My office is down this way," he said, brushing past Shepard and not slowing to see if he was being followed. He'd always been somewhat in awe of Shepard, who was one of Atlantis' legendary figures, heroic and mysterious and larger than life. Major Lorne looked up to Shepard, and so did many of the scientific community. He was better at listening to scientists than a lot of the Air Force officers at the SGC. Too bad it turned out that he had his prejudices. David slapped his office door opener harder than necessary and did a bit of slow breathing to get his anger under control. He was in the right, Shepard was wrong, and Shepard was here to apologize. He had a small grouping of chairs around a bean-shaped table, with a view of his wide balcony and the ocean beyond. He waved Shepard at the chairs and grabbed a couple of water bottles and a box of Warner Dunes from his bottom desk drawer. "So," he said, setting the snacks down and sitting opposite Shepard, leaning forward. "I let my own problems get in the way of behaving professionally," Shepard said, picking at the knees of his trousers. "But more importantly, I said things I should never have said, and that I don't believe." David smiled in a baring-the-teeth kind of way. "I've been called a faggot before, Colonel. It's not so much the word as the implication that somehow my competence, my ability to do my job, is affected by the fact that I'm gay. I have worked off-world with Major Lorne for several years now." Shepard held up a hand to cut him off, at the same time lowering his chin and pinching the bridge of his nose hard, as if warding off a headache. David heard him draw in a breath, hold it, and then let it out in a slow, controlled expression of frustration. "Look," Shepard said finally, and David sighed himself, thinking, "Here comes the exculpation." He took a biscuit from the box and bit it neatly in half. "On the mainland, I had this thing fucking with my head." "I got the email," David said sharply.
"I wrote the email," Shepard snapped back. "It said hallucinations. It didn't say..."
"I was told that you and Dr. Kahara had been killed. I'd failed to protect you. You were dead. And he... it was going to kill everyone in Atlantis. And there wasn't a damn thing I could do. I swear to you, it was as real as this. And Shepard rapped his knuckles on the table, hard. But it was all a trick, and I felt angry, stupid, sick, I don't know. When I got to the jumper and saw you two just sitting there, Shepard's hand slid up, covering his eyes, and David tried desperately to remember whether he still had any tissues left, 3 months after the last Daedalus run, because he really didn't want to think about Shepard, crying in his office. But then Shepard took a breath, forced his shoulders down, and looked up with a faint, self-mocking smile and dry eyes. I really would have liked to be rescued, seeing as I was doing a shitty job of saving myself. David felt as if the room were slowly rotating around him, things coming into alignment, and his stomach dropped. He set the last bite of the biscuit down on the table. Shepard's team would have rescued him, he thought. They wouldn't have done nothing but sit and bitch. They would have... We didn't even radio Atlantis, he said, realizing it now. When we couldn't find you, we just thought... Shepard pointed, nodding. And you should have gotten the jumper and locked the door. We don't know that this world is safe for people, even if it's good for begonias. Lauren's going to yell and put us on remedial field training, isn't he? Shepard shrugged. Probably. He gave me 2 weeks of sensitivity training. I'll talk to him, David offered. But Shepard shook his head. When I'm scared, I can be a real asshole, Shepard said, oddly dispassionate, as if he were quoting. Perhaps he was. I turn into my father. Those things I said to you in the jumper? That's not how I feel, okay? It's what my father said to me. And, no one ever deserves to hear shit like that. It's all lies, anyway. So many people here are brave, and smart, and gay. He tipped his head to the side, letting his gaze slide away to settle somewhere out over the ocean. Like you? David asked, his mouth moving faster than his brain, which was suddenly wondering why he hadn't wondered before. Shepard, who had a weird, intense, symbiotic relationship with McKay, all people, and who had a big brother, little brother thing with Ronan Dex, and who had a harem of women, only in rumor. God, no, Shepard said in a short laugh, his eyes snapping back to David's and crinkling with amusement. The longer I'm here, the dumber I learn I am. And bravery's just putting one foot in front of another. He slapped his palms against his knees lightly and stood. I've got to go. I wanted to say I was sorry. In person. Because you didn't deserve getting hit with the sharp end of my issues. David got up as well, taking 2 paces to Shepard's one so that he blocked the exit. I'll accept your apology, Colonel, if you'll accept mine. Shepard grinned, and suddenly he looked like a different person, someone with a sense of humor and weirdly pretty eyes. David gave in to a devilish impulse and pulled Shepard into a hug. Shepard stiffened up like a tube of cheap superglue, hard and brittle. David hated that reminder that he was free in a way that Shepard couldn't be. He could date who he liked and yell when he made important discoveries and argue with Katie over which doctor was the sexiest, and he could hug his friends whenever and wherever he liked without having to worry about how it might be construed. His own closet had been walk-in and walk-out, just a very brief phase of agonized self-consciousness in high school. It made him cringe to think of anyone spending a lifetime locked away. I'm not jumping you, he said dryly. Shepard's hands, which had been at a loss, finally settled on David's upper arms. But if you wanted to talk, Shepard snorted, or practice being sensitive, or help me out with remedial training. He patted Shepard on the back and pulled back just enough to let him brush his mouth over Shepard's. Not really much of a kiss. more like a promise or a salutation before he let him go. Shepard reestablished his personal space quickly and avoided David's eyes. "I'll keep it in mind," Shepard said, making for the door. "And I won't tell anyone." Shepard flashed him a strange smile. "I know you won't," he said, and half raised his hand as the door opened to give David a terribly awkward goodbye wave as he disappeared. David sank down onto his desk chair, dropped his head on his arms, and indulged in a short but silent hysterical laughter to release all his emotional stress and nervous tension. He allowed himself a few minutes of panic. "David, David, tell me you didn't. Not John Shepard. Oh, God, David." And then sat back up and made himself be rational. "You don't even know if he's seeing anyone. Closeted doesn't have to mean celibate. Oh." He seriously doubted that Shepard would ever refer to this conversation. Or kiss, David. What were you thinking? Again. Apologies had been made and accepted. They would have a good professional relationship. He could work with that. Live with that. Accept that. He took a deep breath, released it, and went back to the lab. He told everyone that Shepard was an okay guy. They didn't quite believe him. He didn't see Shepard around. He usually didn't. Back to the status quo, he thought. Then he came back from work one evening to find a potted plant with large orange and blue flowers outside his door. It was neatly marked P4GNR7, with terse notes on soil type and climate and exposure to sunlight. He put the pot on his desk and checked the off-world schedule to see which team had been to P4GNR7. He blinked at the screen and then blinked at the plant. It was a scrawny little thing and looked very surprised at the huge blossoms it had produced. "Well," he said to the plant, moving it out onto the balcony into strong direct sun, "it seems John Shepard sending me flowers." And he couldn't stop himself from grinning ear to ear. The end.